everybody, this is Brother Paxton, and we are going to be bringing you some programs here for the next few weeks on the telecast that we taped anywhere between 8 and 10 years ago. And it's my heart and my hope for you that they will bless you once again. The truths of the Word of God are timeless truths, and the same anointing that was on it then will be on it now. We're going to have nuggets on healing. We're going to have some proclamations that we made out west back in 2009, etc., and so forth. So I pray that you'll continue to tune into the telecast. Just a few short weeks. Blast from the past in Jesus' name. This is Brother Paxton. Come on now. Let's watch the telecast together. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the Len Paxton Teaching Series again this week. As always, it's a joy and a delight to come into your hearts and homes with the Word of Almighty God. The Bible is what I choose to call pertinent truth. This is not just some ancient history somewhere. This is truth that fills our hearts and lives and equips us to deal with the world that we live in today. Amen. In today's lesson, which, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is a scripture that most Christians would know by heart. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And this particular message is a message that I preached in Gaylord, Michigan several years ago at Mount Victory Assembly of God. I preached a message on faith in the last days. And this particular part of the message tonight was in that message. It took us 3 weeks to completely exhaust the subject then, which we cannot do over television. But our title for this evening is entitled Birth Revival with Prayer. You know, the greatest need that we have in the American church, as I see it today, is for genuine revival. We have a lot of things that purport to be revival. For example, the meetings that are being held down in Lakeland, Florida. I've never been, and I won't go because I don't believe it's of God. The emphasis seems to be on things that are more occultic in nature than biblical in nature. But I've often said, and on good authority, from men like Jonathan Edwards, John Wesley, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and many, many of the great historical church fathers, the first earmark of a true revival is that people are saved. Hearts and lives are changed. People are delivered from sin. Bondages are broken by the mighty power of God. This is what we need. We don't necessarily need another goosebump. We don't necessarily need another freaky experience, if you would pardon the terminology. But what we definitely do need is victory over sin. We definitely do need to be delivered from the things that hold us in bondage. True revival will produce that. And so we definitely pray, we believe God, we seek God, that He would send true revival to planet Earth once again. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the scripture says this, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven," hallelujah, "I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Heavenly Father, I ask that you take the few short words in this brief time that we have with our television audience this week, Father, and drive it like an arrow of deliverance to our hearts. Lord, we need you. Our hearts need you in this hour. Father, work with us. Father, instruct us tonight. Teach us and lead us and guide us, we pray, into true revival for our world. And we ask it, giving you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In 1904, Wales needed revival, perhaps more than many places on the earth at that time. Wales was poverty-stricken. Wales was a struggling mining region enveloped by darkness, by profanity, by immorality, and by greed. Though ignored by the general populace, the church of that day was already praying in sincerity for a move of God. Prayer had begun in 1901, and by 1902, 2,000 prayer groups had formed all over the little country of Wales. Praise God. Think about what I'm telling you. The Wales population was only about 1.5 million people. Qualified ministers like G. Campbell Morgan, F.B. Meyer, and Gypsy Smith were all there with potential to lead a revival. But God did not choose to use those men. Instead, the Holy Spirit anointed a 25-year-old, unknown Welsh coal miner by the name of Evan Roberts. Probably no other single person in modern history was so instrumental in the move of God as was Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts had worked 12 hours a day from the age of 12. But while his young peers consumed their work breaks swearing, smoking, and drinking and chewing, Evan Roberts removed himself from their company. Listen to me now. He removed himself from their company in order that he might read the scripture. You think of what I'm telling you. Oh, that America would understand the principle today of separation from the world. Not isolation, but the scripture still says, "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will receive you unto myself." And the implication is, my beloved friend, that if we do not come out and be separate, he will not receive us. God will not receive us unto himself. For 13 years, listen, for 13 years, Evan Roberts had prayed for a move of God's Spirit. I always get amazed at these people who, "Well, I tried this, but it doesn't work. I tried believing God. I tried prayer. I tried church. I tried Jesus, but it doesn't work." How long have you been going at it? "Well, you know, I went to church for 3 whole months and nothing happened." Well, you really hung in there a long time, didn't you? For 13 years, Evan Roberts prayed for a move of God's Spirit. Every time that the church doors were open, please hear me, America. Please hear me, those that like to skip out on Sunday evening service. Please hear me, those that no longer go to Wednesday evening Bible study. Please hear me, church member that no longer gathers around the altar for prayer. Every time the church doors were open, this young man was there on the front row. 1 year prior to the revival that flooded Wales, the Spirit of God broke through and washed over Evan Roberts. He prayed so long and so loud and so hard that his landlady had to kick him out of his apartment. Here was the prayer of young Evan Roberts. "Bend me, bend me, bend me, O Lord." This young man was willing to pay the price. He sold everything he had to pay his bills. He even tried to pay others for the opportunity to preach. Now, I've been there a time or two. But the doors were closed to him until he went to his own pastor and asked, "Would you let me preach here?" And at first the pastor said no. But Evan kept begging him and bugging him and pleading with him. So the pastor finally said, "If you're willing to stay after service on Wednesday, if anybody else stays, you can preach to them." 17 people stayed. And Evan Roberts stood up and he started out by saying, "I have a message from God." That's what we need in America once again today, is a preacher that will have a message from God for us. You know, turn on, and I challenge you to do this, turn on Christian television any day of the week, and you'll see get-rich-quick seminars, you'll see vitamin programs, you'll see health and nutrition, you'll see talk shows, you'll see pep rallies, but precious little gospel preaching, precious little, precious few today that come along and say, I have a message from God, and then it's truly a message from God. We've got a lot of people saying they have a message from God, and it's not. Because the message of the Bible, the message of the Scripture, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when that message is proclaimed, people will get saved. People will get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People will get healed. Lives will be changed. Families will be put back together again. Broken down homes will be restored by the power of God when you lift up the slain lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever. That's the message at Acts 26:18 Ministries. I don't spend any time giving you simple little sermons on 7 points to get rich. I don't spend any time telling you, 55 ways to keep your marriage strong. Let me tell you something. Believe the Bible and love your wife and love your husband and get close to Jesus and your marriage will stay strong. Praise God. We lift up the slain lamb because that's the hope of our world. Amen. 17 people stayed. Evan Roberts stood up and said, I have a message from God. A man with a message from God can shape the world, beloved. Roberts' message was simple. His message was concise. His message was anointed. Here's what it was. There are 4 points to Evan Roberts' message. In 1904, the country of Wales, that sparked a great revival. Here it is. Point number one. You must confess every known sin to God and make right every sin that is known unto man. We have repentance and restitution. Number two. You must remove doubtful habits from your life. Praise God. Number three, you must obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And number four, you must go public. You must go public with your witness for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When Evan Roberts finished this message, all 17 people fell to their knees weeping before God. In just a few weeks from this time, every church building in Wales was packed and hundreds were standing on the outside desiring to be inside. Ladies and gentlemen, because Evan Roberts prayed, fasted, and sought God. You hear that? He prayed, he fasted, he sought God. He had a vision in 1904 that the revival would see 100,000 people saved in Wales. Praise God. And this revival would literally sweep around the world. He was loudly ridiculed. He was scorned by religious leaders. Nevertheless, within 5 months, the revival added 100,000 people to the church. I just want to tell you today that religious people, cannot quench a revival from God that's birthed by prayer. Hallelujah. We need to be in prayer again. Earnest prayer. Sincere prayer. Don't skip prayer meeting at your church. Go. Be a part. Plug in to what God is doing. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The revival moved on to England and Ireland, and the church added more than a million people. More than a million people to its rolls, and at least that many more were reportedly saved. The revival swept through East Central Europe, Norway, and Scandinavia. It spread down to Africa, to India, through China, into Korea. Healings took place. visions and signs and wonders from God. Just like the book of Acts. Hallelujah. It was witnessed throughout this great revival. All because one young man was willing to pay the price in prayer. Are you? I'll ask you. Are you willing? You sit in your church and you talk about how you want to see a move of God, how you want to see an anointing, how you want to see a revival. Are you willing to pay the price in prayer? Are you willing to give of yourself? Are you willing to give of your time? Are you willing to give of your money? Are you willing to be there for God no matter what it costs you to birth revival? You can do it. If you'll make that commitment today, God will challenge your life, but God will also bless your life. Praise God. Most importantly, God will bless your community. He'll bless your town. He'll bless your village. He'll bless your city. He'll bless your country. He'll bless your congregation. Praise God. Korea is the only nation that was moved by this revival that has kept pace with the momentum of 1904. You see, the revival soured in some of these other nations, but Korea has one of the largest churches in the world today that was birthed out of that movement way back in 1904. Reports say that at the turn of the century in Korea, only 1% of Koreans were even nominal Christians, while today, one out of every two Koreans profess Christ. Praise God. Some of the largest churches in the world are in Seoul, South Korea. I want you to think of that. Why is Korea in revival? When you go to that church, when you look at that church during a service or a gathering of whatever type, everyone's on their knees praying and crying out to God. Everyone is shouting the praises of God. Why? Why are they in revival? The answer is very simple. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer has literally built the greatest church in the world. Had there been no extraordinary prayer, there would have been no extraordinary awakening. John Wesley said, "It appears that God will do nothing except in response to people's prayers." That one little statement has affected me personally more than any other that I've ever heard about revival. All revival, true revival, God-given revival, God-sent revival, all of it, all revival is birthed by prayer. Take that prayer challenge today. In your church, if there's not a prayer group, start one. Organize one. Call people out to begin to pray for the United States of America. Repent for the sins of America. Call out to God in sorrow over the sins of our nation. Turn unto Him with all of your hearts. Lead others into your little prayer group in your church. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the evangelists. Pray for the teachers and the apostles and the prophets. The ministry gifts that God sent to equip your life. Pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would reside upon your preacher. Pray that he or she will begin to preach Christ and Him crucified in these last days in which we're living. Pay the price. Step out of the boat. Walk on the water. Launch out into the deep where the big fish are at. Hallelujah. God can change your church. He can change your community. He can change your life if you will do it. All revival is birthed by prayer. Ask yourself, am I willing to pray and fast for revival for as long as it takes? Am I going to ask others to join me? Will I listen to God regardless of what others think or say? And how will I personally respond to Evan Roberts' simple message of revival? You know, as I close today, I say it again. This is the greatest need in our nation today. Our greatest needs as Americans in 2008 and beyond Our greatest needs are not economical. Our greatest needs are not material. Our greatest needs really isn't even domestical. Because you see, all of these things will be taken care of if we will find out that our greatest need is for spiritual revival once again in the United States of America. The moving of God's Holy Spirit is what birthed America. The principles of the Bible, the Word of God, is what made this nation great. People are talking about today that this is not or was not a Christian nation. Oh yes, it was. It was birthed on the foundation principles of the Word of Almighty God. That's what made America great. And if we'll get back to that, we'll still be in that greatness. I believe that with all of my heart, but we will see a revival in the day and age in which you and I live. That's the greatest need that we have. The greatest need is not militarily, economically, socially. Excuse me. The greatest need is to walk close to Jesus Christ in these last days that we're living in. And we can only have revival, true revival, and God-given revival. It can only come through prayer. I want to challenge every pastor that's watching me now, every associate, every youth leader, every Christian, to take a look at the organized prayer effort in your church. And if there's not one, begin one, please, today. And come together and pray earnestly. And believers, take the time to be there. Take the time to participate. You see, you should not go to church just to watch a show. Plug into that thing. And if you're not going to plug into it, if you're not going to be there every time the door is open, then stop criticizing the pastors. Stop talking about how little the pastor does. What do? Get in that church, support that thing, get in those altars and pray that God will send His Holy Spirit to the nation of America stronger than ever before in these last days, and that souls would be saved, lives would be changed, sick bodies would be healed, people will be filled with the Holy Spirit, addictions would be broken, bondages would be broken. Begin to call out to God for these things. Don't sit around and say, oh, I wish we could have revival. You can. If you'll seek God for it. And that's my challenge to you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time with the people. Take these words and deposit them within us, O Lord, and cause us to rise up out of our slumber and our sleep. Cause us to rise up and do a work for God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm glad that you tuned in tonight for this telecast. I pray it has challenged your spiritual life. I pray that it's been a blessing to you. Why don't you write to us this week? Acts 26:18 Ministries. I'm Evangelist Len Paxton. You can write to Post Office Box 5714, that's 5714, in Traverse City, Michigan, 49696. That zip code again, 49696. And when you write, please include your prayer request. We meet in our offices every Tuesday and Thursday to pray for requests from all around the world, and we want yours to be in there as well. Amen. We pray every day, but we pray on those two particular times for a vast number of requests. So please send yours along to us today. Let's take our faith and join it with yours and believe God for mighty things in your life. And please, please let me encourage you to go to church this Sunday. Find a church that preaches Christ and Him crucified and get in there and be a part of what God is doing in the earth in these last days. You'll be glad you did. You really, really will. There's nothing quite like an old-fashioned Holy Ghost church. Hallelujah. And find a good one, and they're there and they're waiting for you. Amen. Until next week, when you and I can come together around the Word of God, this is Evangelist Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Be blessed now, is my sincere prayer for your life.
In the NIV, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it reads this way, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Jesus Christ did everything that was necessary to bring you and I to God. To say He suffered for our sins is such a tame statement. It's such an understatement that we can read it and not let it break our hearts. Picture that suffering. Before His crucifixion, Roman soldiers flogged Him using a whip with sharp metal pieces in it, a cat of nine tails, attached to long leather strips, until the flesh on His back was completely shredded. They draped a purple robe around His bloodied shoulders and taunted Him and mocked Him, "All hail, King of the Jews." They hit Him, they spit in His face, they ridiculed Him, they twisted thorny twigs together and made a crown of thorns to place it on our King's head. He experienced excruciating torture, excruciating pain, even before they ever pounded one spike into His hands or into His feet. Before they ever nailed Him to the cross, they had beaten Him within an inch of His life. Why did Jesus endure this torture? Why did He endure the extremity of abuse, the vilest that man could produce? I'll tell you why. Because He loves us. He loves you and He loves me. He knew it was impossible for us to attain eternal life on our own. So Jesus, the righteous one, the only one that was holy, the only one that's ever been righteous before God, died for the unrighteous. You and I. He took what we deserve in order that we could have what we don't deserve, namely eternal life, namely seated with Him in heavenly places, all the blessings of the kingdom, the inheritance, uncorruptible. When we consider Jesus' physical agony, we can't forget the spiritual battle He fought either. He took all our sins upon Himself. He suffered the separation from the Father for a brief moment in time, which was probably the cruelest punishment and fate of all. We know, you know, how our conscience troubles us when we do wrong. Multiply that by billions of sinners throughout the ages. All of that was dumped on Jesus so that you and I can live in the Spirit forever. What a great God we serve. What a mighty Savior who loves us so much that He offers us eternal life. Don't let that offer pass you by today. You know, you can think a lot of things are important and a lot of things demand your attention right now, but this is the most important moment in your life if you do not know Jesus Christ. He suffered and died for you that you might have eternal life and not burn in a fiery devil's hell. There's only one way, one truth, and one life, Jesus Christ. And He offers it to you today. Heavenly Father, thank You. Let Your amazing love totally humble us today, Lord God, and reach out to every heart and every soul right now under the sound of my voice that needs to make a decision for Christ. Father, speak to hearts and lives everywhere. We are unworthy, but we thank You that You make us righteous. We praise Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.